You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome back to NPR News. I'm Mike Edgerly in today for Carrie Miller. Have you ever been so moved by a photograph it altered the way you see the world? If so, it's quite possible our guest this hour may have been responsible for that image. Christina Mittermeier is a marine biologist and award-winning photographer, National Geographic explorer and speaker. She's co-founder of Sea Legacy, a nonprofit dedicated to protecting the oceans. She's in our studio this morning. She's in St. Paul as a part of NPR's Water Month programming. She appears tonight at the Fitzgerald Theater as a part of a National Geographic live presentation called Standing at the Water's Edge. Christina Mittermeier, welcome to NPR News.
Thank you so much for having me.
For those of you listening, when we describe the image I just mentioned, I bet you're going to want to join our conversation. Our number is 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828, or 651-227-6000. On Twitter, I'm Edgerly NPR News. That's E-D-G-E-R-L-Y NPR News on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. Christina Mittermeier, the image that I referred to is one of a starving polar bear. Once seen, you can't unsee it. You and your partner captured the video, the images on Baffin Island. Can you take us into what happened, what you were doing, and what you came upon?
Yeah, absolutely. So my partner, photographer Paul Nicklin, was on an assignment. He was on a trip. And he came upon this polar bear in a fjord, in a remote fjord. And when he saw that the situation of this animal was so dire, he phoned me. I was in Vancouver Island, and he said, bring a team. And so the next day I was there with a team from Sea Legacy to film this poor animal. We went back and we found it, and it was indeed horrifying, the situation that this bear was in. It was starving.
Had you ever seen anything like that?
We have seen skinny bears before. We've seen dead bears before. I've never seen one that's just about to die.
But something was different about this. Your photograph, the video and the images, the still images, really captured something in people, right? And it was viewed 2.5 billion with a B times. Is that right?
Yeah, it went around the world. Over 300 media outlets published it. It became National Geographic's most viewed video in history.
Yeah, and it placed you and your partner at the center of a very fierce debate.
Yeah.
I mean, one might imagine looking at the bear and feeling empathy and I mean, just the bear is deep in pain. It's foraging for food where there is none. Skin and bones. Its fur is sagging. I think you even described at one point that he was gnawing on a piece of foam, a piece of equipment from a snowmobile or something.
Yeah, there was nothing for it to eat, and this is something that happens to polar bears when there's no sea ice.
And
so, if you imagine sea ice as a big platform that polar bears use to hunt. When it melts, then they get stuck on land and there's very little food for them there.
Right. And so it was your description of the bear and the lack of sea ice and that link to global warming, climate change, that seemed to generate the heat. Sorry for the bad.
No, it's fine because we made a very big effort to write in our caption that we didn't know why this particular bear was starving. The point that we wanted to make is that if the Arctic continues to warm at the rate that it's warming now, and in the last few weeks, the temperature has been as much as 20 degrees warmer than it should be, this is how bears are going to be suffering in the next few decades.
Right.
People have a very difficult time understanding, you know, a data point in a sheet. We wanted people to see and emotionally connect to the struggle that animals are having because of climate change.
Mm. I noticed in the comments that were addressed to you on social media, more than one person said, why didn't you just take care of the bear? Why didn't you just feed the bear? Why didn't you just take care of the bear or feed the bear?
Well, because polar bears, first of all, it's illegal to feed wild animals in Canada. And it just doesn't matter how much food we would have given her today, it would have still suffered. It would have extended its suffering and it would have died anyway. And in addition, it is a polar bear. It's a very dangerous animal, which is also starving.
Right. You can join our conversation with Christina Mittermeier, conservation photographer, at 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000, or toll-free 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. I was reading, Ms. Mittermeier, your explanation about this as you're describing it to us, and you had a line that was almost as arresting as the image, and you said, "We simply can no longer afford to look away." And as a photographer, that's a very practical piece of information. But you mean something much larger than that, don't you?
I do. You know, photographing climate change is like photographing a slow-moving tsunami. It's not a single event. And so climate change is killing wildlife, not as an event, but as proxy. It kills by drought. It kills by flooding. It kills by starvation. And to find a situation where you can actually capture all of that and make an iconic image that describes for people the pain that so many of us are feeling as we struggle with how to deal with climate change is the challenge.
Right. And it's particularly acute when the animals, like the polar bears, simply have no place to stand to feed themselves and their offspring.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is something that we're going to be seeing a lot more of, and it's a very painful thing to watch. But I feel like a lot of people are in denial of the effects of climate change, or we feel powerless to do anything about it. And the goal was to jolt us into action because it is a dire situation.
Photography has an amazing power to bring us in, maybe even in a way that words cannot. Do you agree? I mean, how do you think about that when you go out in the field with your camera?
Well, the goal of a photographer like myself is to make images that stand for something larger than ourselves, iconic images, and images that describe the world. So if I say to you, napalm, Vietnam, I know exactly the photograph you're thinking about. And that's the kind of image that I strive to make. Images have a way of making us stop and think and internalize information in a very different way than video or writing do.
And you're trained as a scientist. You were engaged in writing research papers and so forth, but now you create images. How did that happen?
I realized early on in my career that there's a real intellectual barrier for people to want to engage with science. You know, you're shown a graph or, you know, a sheet with a lot of little numbers and you immediately reject it because it's too much work for our brain. But when you show people an image and it's an image that makes them think about, you know, what was it like? Were you cold? Were you hungry? How did you communicate? You can engage people in a dialogue and begin a conversation. And that's what we wanted to do with this particular polar bear image.
Our guest is Christina Mittermeier. She's an award-winning photographer, marine biologist, and a founder of Sea Legacy, a nonprofit dedicated to protecting the oceans. She's in town. She's in St. Paul for a presentation tonight at the Fitzgerald Theater as a part of NPR's Water Month programming. Let's go to the phones. Sean in Plymouth, you're on with Ms. Mittermeier. Sean?
Thank you for taking my call, and I applaud you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
There's a lot of things impacting our planet, and it's a shame the things that are happening. You know, it's the creatures that are in the different areas of the planet, our guys that went to Vietnam that got hit with the Agent Orange, and, you know, the same people that make Roundup did that stuff. And, you know, we're seeing the robins and the birds and all the migratory animals here suffering. And it's happening everywhere. When our weather changes like this and 20 inches of snow drops in our lap, something's going to suffer. I saw this on Facebook last night, and we're going to feed them. I was talking to a woman at Walmart 60 miles west of town in Hutchinson, and she said there's dead birds out there, as well as other migratory birds. This is not good.
No.
And, you know, some people might think the grass on their golf course in Mar-a-Lago is more important than this. But when 9/11 happened, our temperature dropped in the United States because no planes flew, no supportive vehicles moved. So we got to do something quick, and electric cars are a good choice as long as solar. I'll shut up and listen.
Okay. Ms. Bitterbeier, your reaction to Sean's comments?
I think he's absolutely right. And Sean, I think a little bit of the paralysis comes out of fear. I think most of us know that something really bad is happening and we have no idea how to address it. So recently I've been listening to an economist by the name of Jeremy Rifkin talk about the third industrial revolution and how we are transitioning, some countries, not ours, but some countries are transitioning very quickly to renewable energy that's distributed through the Internet of Things. And I find real hope in that because countries like China and the European Union, which is the largest economy on the planet, are moving very quickly away from fossil fuels.
Hmm. And so we'll talk to us a little bit about Sea Legacy. What does it do?
You know, the ocean is the largest and perhaps the most important ecosystem on our planet. It regulates our temperature and it provides 50% of the oxygen we breathe. More importantly, 1 billion people live less than 100 kilometers from the coast. So it's vital to the economy. It's vital to our survival. And yet it's vastly unknown. It's like this dark, foreboding place that most people are afraid of going to. We know the ocean from the beach. So our job as photographers is to bring people with us beneath the thin blue line of the surface of the ocean to show them not just how majestic and beautiful and important it is, but also how threatened it is. Things like plastic pollution, acidification, the disappearing of coral reefs, the melting of the poles, all of these things are happening quickly and are vitally important to human survival.
Right. Well, do you, I'm curious, as a photographer, as a documentarian, how do you walk that line between showing us the threats and showing us the beauty that still exists? I mean, some of your photography and your partner's photography is just gorgeous. But there are stark images, especially on your and his Instagram feeds. I mean, you see nets that have pulled in the bycatch, which is, I guess, a euphemism for killing fish that didn't work the targets of the nets, right? So how do you find that place that says, I'm going to inform you and maybe grab you, but I'm not going to destroy your your hope?
Well, hope is empowerment, and it's a real game changer. And I learned storytelling by listening to people like Martin Luther King talk about I have a dream. He said, you know, I have a dream that things could be this way. But right now we're here in the pits. But if we do this little bit, we could be here. And until then, I mean, so that cadence is really important to show what's right, the success that some people are having in conservation. And at the same time, we need to acknowledge what's wrong and address it immediately.
Right. Have you, and I want to come back to that phrase, we simply can no longer afford to look away. Have you ever been tempted to look away as you were looking through the viewfinder of your cameras?
You know, early on in my career, I made the mistake of shying away from taking some images that were uncomfortable for me. And I regretted it because I will never know if my images could have made a difference. And so since then, I vowed to do it even if it's difficult. Sometimes it's painful. Of course, you get criticism as a photographer for not putting the camera down to help sometimes. But I feel that my contribution is in bringing these stories out to a larger public.
Mm-hmm. How do you calculate that? Or have you trained yourself now when the camera is to your eye and you're looking through the lens, what do you think when you're looking at a polar bear or someone or something in distress? What do you think? What goes through your mind at that point?
Well, you know, I'm always trying to create images that capture the emotion and that build a little bit more of empathy and understanding.
Right.
We live in a world that is so polluted with visual noise. You know, we're bombarded all the time. So you want to make images that stand out, that invite people into a conversation, into a debate. You know, I'm open to being criticized. And of course, I don't have all the answers.
You seem to have no problem with handling that.
No, you know, you need a very thick skin to be a photographer. But I also feel the urgency and the duty of sharing the things that I see there in the front line. Mm-hmm. There's nobody in these places that we go to. So our job is to bring it back.
Our guest is Christina Mittermeier. She's an award-winning photographer, marine biologist, and a co-founder of Sea Legacy. Let's go to Justin in Winona. You're on with Ms. Mittermeier. Justin?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Thanks for being the person that you are, Christina. I was wondering what continues to give you hope or the the energy to continue to photograph the photographs and be a marine biologist in a world that's kind of really doesn't seem to care about wildlife or the world around us?
It's a great question, Justin, and the answer is very simple. Everywhere I go, I find hundreds, if not thousands, you know, we have millions of followers who care. And because they care, we're building a movement. We're building a very large online community of people that are empowered to care and take action. For example, with the campaign that we just did with the drift nets in California, it only took us 3 days to gather over 100,000 signatures of people that support getting rid of these very destructive fishery. We want to be empowered, you know, and people want to participate. So I find a lot of hope in that.
Right. And you offer guidance. And I know people have asked you, well, what can I do? And you speak of reducing the eating of meat, for mm-hmm. example, very basic steps. What else?
You know, it's a lot of it is going to come down from government regulation and legislation, of course. But a lot of it is also personal choices that we make every day. I was talking to a 16-year-old kid that I photographed, and she has her personal contract with Earth. This is her personal commitment to reducing the use of plastic, to reducing how much red meat she eats, to understanding where her food comes from. Is it grown locally? Is it using pesticides? Is it, you know, a destructive fishery? It takes a lot of work to care, and that's the commitment.
Right. Back to the phones. Robert in Golden Valley, you're on with our guest.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I simply wanted to strongly recommend a PBS show that aired last night that addresses climate change, and it is called Decoding the Weather Machine. It's a 2-hour documentary on PBS. It's available through TPT and also from the NOVA website, and it stars, so to speak, in many segments, Paul Douglas, our well-known local meteorologist, and Christian Evangelical, talking about how the research evolved on realizing that CO2 was a contributor to global warming, and traces forward to look at just how that is affecting oceans, land, atmosphere, and other areas. It's an extraordinary documentary. I'd like to recommend it to anyone and to pass the link on to people who are perhaps global warming or climate change skeptics.
Perfect. I'm going to pour myself a big glass of red wine tonight and watch it. Thank you for that.
Okay. Ms. Mittermeier, I want to take you back to something that you mentioned just before our last call about visual noise. You know, we all have cameras now, and that they're called phones, right? How do you sort through that? You and your partner have a lot of followers on Instagram. You're out there with National Geographic, but everyone has an image. If it's food or, you know, a selfie made at the museum or something, how do you find your way through that?
You know, it's funny because I think social media is built for clutter. But somehow, you know, the more you utilize it, the more it filters to the kinds of things that your affinity is entitled for. And there's a danger in that because you're building an echo chamber of people that agree with you constantly. And at the same time, you know, it reinforces your very own points of view. And I think that's part of what's causing all the division in the United States. But at the same time, you know, for those of us who are aware, I cannot get enough of what other photographers are bringing back.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say to those of us who walk, you know, in our daily lives? We have this little thing in our pocket with not a bad camera, actually. Can we document? Can we witness something that could make a difference? And if so, what do you say to those of us who think that way?
Absolutely. You know, we are all photographers and documentarians, and we are documenting the world with our phones every day. We need an army of people that stands up and speaks up for the kind of planet that we want to live in. And we can do that with our phones and our social media every day. So I encourage all of you to take pictures and share them with positive messages and calling attention to things that can be fixed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to switch gears. We have just a couple of minutes left here, but what do you take pictures of for fun?
I don't.
Come on.
I don't. I really don't.
You don't. When was the last selfie you made?
You know, people want to take selfies with me, but If I could put my camera away and never take another picture, I would do that. My camera has become this tool that I use to document the world that is dying. And the day that I will retire is the day that we save the planet. So I don't do pictures for fun. And yeah.
That seems kind of sad in a way that you can't just take a picture of a nice sunset or something and say, oh, look, that was a nice day.
And I actually do. I love my Instagram stories. And so I think I do that for fun more than anything, just documenting where I am, the people that I meet.
That's great. Well, thank you very much. Christina Mittermeier, thank you for coming in.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Christina Mittermeier is a marine biologist, award-winning photographer, National Geographic explorer, and speaker. She appears tonight at the Fitzgerald Theater, where she'll be talking and giving a presentation called Standing at the Water's Edge. She's here as a part of NPR's Water Month programming. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening this morning to NPR News.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Kerri at KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.